866.
Want to lose weight? Listen up, because an incredibly effective weight loss supplement is being given out to 100 callers right now. Because it's so potent, please take no more than one capsule a day. Be one of the first 100 callers to get a risk-free trial. 1-800-503-1620. Supplies are limited because this product is proven and can cause dramatic weight loss. It's called AF Plus. Take one capsule just once a day as directed, and you can experience maximum weight loss. Pounds in days. It's all natural, safe, and healthy. But if your weight loss with AF Plus is too dramatic, please decrease use and only take it every other day. Only 100 callers are guaranteed to get a risk-free trial. Call 1-800-503-1620. Mayo Clinic research proves that carrying fat in your midsection raises your risk of heart disease, stroke, high blood pressure, even cancer. If you need to lose weight, you absolutely must call now. 1-800-503-1620. 1-800-503-1620.
The American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
1450 WOL, Washington, D.C. and WPRS HD2, Waldorf, Washington. A Radio 1 station and worldwide at WOLDCNews.com.
The views and opinions of the following show do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of News Talk 1450 WOL, Radio 1 Incorporated, or their management.
Good morning and welcome to Law Talk with Ethel Mitchell. Now for today's show, here's attorney Ethel Mitchell.
Welcome, and thank you very much for joining me live on Law Talk with Ethel Mitchell. Welcome to all of you who are listening live at 1450 AM, lawtalkwithethelmitchell.com, WLDCnews.com, and on your telephones through the TuneIn app. You are all welcome. I am pleased to share with you my attendance at the National Bar Association Mid-Year Conference that's going on here in at the National Harbor. Yesterday there was a wonderful luncheon that honored many of the judges and educators in the Maryland, D.C. area. it was the Heman Suite luncheon. Heman Sweet was the first person to sue the University of Texas Law School and resulted in a decision that black students were to be admitted to the University of Texas Law School. That was in 1946-47, and that opened the door for African-American lawyers. The National Bar Association is the oldest and largest association of African-American lawyers and judges. And anyone listening should keep up with their activities because they are very, very important. Tonight they're going to have a dinner where, among others, attorney Eric Holder will be honored. It is the historical repository of our long, long battle for legal equality. So I welcome you to our discussion on the law today. Law is power. I want you to know about it so that you can use that power for your own benefit. I firmly believe that we do better when we know better. Law impacts everything that we do. And it's the one area of life where what you don't know can really hurt you and what you do know can empower you. Each week I aim to empower you. I'm going to bring you professionals who work with the law every day. We'll choose an area and explore its direct impact on your life. This month, we have been discussing law and business. Attorney and entrepreneur Sterling Ashby joined us to talk about bringing a business idea to fruition and creating a scalable business. Attorney Jean-Marie Sila Jr. joined Law Talk with Ethel Mitchell to discuss the formation of corporations and LLCs. Attorney Daryl Jordan joined us to discuss the numerous government contracting opportunities and how to become a part of it. You can listen to all of these shows on my website. They are archived on the YouTube channel that is linked to that website, and I encourage you to do so. Today, I'm going to focus the entire show on my area of expertise, wills, trust, estate planning, and probate, as I will do periodically to help you understand how to properly plan and protect yourselves and your families now and into the future. Regardless of race, religion, sex, financial status, everyone needs to have at least three basic documents at the very, very least. And I'm going to tell you what they are and why every adult needs to have them. We want you to be part of the conversation. So call us at 1-800-450-7876. That's 1-800-450-7876. Tweet us at Law Talk EM. Like us on Facebook at Law Talk with Ethel Mitchell. Let's get started. A lot of people think that estate planning is only about death. No, it is very much about protecting yourself while alive. Think about it. What would happen if you had a stroke or you had a car accident and were unable to manage your legal and financial matters? Who would pay your bills? Who would pay your mortgage? Who would take care of your children? Who would make sure that you were taken care of, for that matter, both in terms of health and in terms of legal and financial matters? We're going to talk about these kinds of issues, so listen up. I must, however, remind you, as always, that what you hear on this show is for information purposes only. No attorney-client relationship is established by anything said on the show, and each person's circumstances are different. You must seek individual counsel for any situation for which you need legal advice. Now, I'm flipping the script, as they say in this case. I'm flipping the mic. My executive producer, who's here, Stacy Royster, is going to be my co-host today and ask me questions. So, Stacy, take it away.
Well, hello, Ethel, and thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, let me first tell you a little bit about our great host, Attorney Ethel Mitchell. She is a member of the Bar Associations of Maryland, Washington, D.C., Virginia, Texas, United States, Virgin Islands, and Ghana. Mitchell completed undergraduate studies at Fisk University, magna cum laude. She was voted a member of Phi Beta Kappa. She received her Juris Doctor degree from Columbia Law School and then served as law clerk to Chief Judge Christian in St. Thomas, U.S. Virgin Islands. With more than 20 years of legal experience, Attorney Mitchell has distinguished herself as a leading practitioner focusing on wills, trusts, estate planning, and probate. She is a frequent speaker at churches, sororities, fraternities, and other private groups. So, Attorney Ethel Mitchell, let's talk about wills, trusts, and estate planning. What are these documents first, and tell us who needs them?
Well, everybody needs them. Every adult needs them. A lot of people think these are only for older people, or they're only about death. In fact, young people, singles, married people with or without children, the elderly, if you are expected to take care of someone, I'm getting a lot of calls now from children, adult children, who are expected or are trying to help their parents, you need to make sure that your parents have given you the written authority by using their power of attorneys, these same documents we're talking about, to talk to their doctors, to manage their finances. So as you listen to what we're talking about, I want everybody to think not only for themselves, but also for anyone that you know, anyone that you love, that you are going to be helping. Make sure they have these documents. So everybody needs these documents.
Great. And there are three main documents that any responsible adult should have, correct? And
that's correct.
Tell us why.
Okay. The first document is the durable power of attorney. What that does is it says who would take care of your money. Now, you know who's good with money in your family and who's not good with money.
Amen.
All right. So you decide, you choose. It does not have to be a family member, by the way. Okay? A lot of people will choose friends because they know that that friend is not only trustworthy, but they know how to handle money. So for your legal and financial power of attorney, you want somebody who can handle money and somebody who you can trust. One of the important things people don't realize is you can make a power of attorney what we call springing, meaning that it does not become effective until two doctors in writing have examined you and said they think that you are no longer competent.
Many people don't want to see that day come.
No, they don't. But that's a protection. That is a protection. Mm-hmm. So say, you know, I live by myself. I don't want whoever I have named, even though I may trust them, I don't want them to come take over just because I put their name on the power of attorney, okay? So you put that in, and just last month we did it for an elderly lady. She's no longer competent. We named her niece. We had to get two doctor's letters on their letterhead saying that she's no longer competent, and then the banks would accept the power of attorney. But it allowed her then to come in and take care of her aunt. And that's the idea of it.
And if she had waited until, if she hadn't done this in advance, and then she was
late.
Incompetent, what would have happened?
You have to go to court and get a stranger appointed as guardian, and then you have no control over the money. Or in some instances, the person. Once the court gets involved, then the person that you wanted to be appointed, somebody in your family, somebody who knows you, somebody who loves you, is no longer involved because they do not have to follow what the family wants at that point.
Wow.
So everybody listening, please get these documents in place. The second type of document that is so important is the advanced medical directive. The way I do them, there are two types. One is there are two parts, rather. One is the living will, where you say if you want to be on life support. Now, those are extreme circumstances, but you want to make that decision. You don't want to leave that decision for somebody else to make. A lot of families break up. There have been huge battles over that, and you know, where somebody wants to take mom off of life support or dad or whoever, and the other person doesn't. And they can break apart because that's a very emotional decision.
Or the husband wants to
pull
the
exactly, the wife. Right, okay. Right. And by the way, that's a good point. Just because you are married, it doesn't mean that you don't need these documents. The spouse is sometimes still unable, if you don't have the power of attorney, especially legal and financial, to access the bank accounts. I have had a young wife unable to find out what the benefits of her husband were when he was in the hospital because she did not have power of attorney.
Even though she was his
they
wife.
They were married, exactly. And thank God he was competent enough and we were able to get the power of attorney signed with the notary and all like that. As soon as she had it, the boss talked to her and they released the documents. It's really, really important to have these documents.
Listen up, everyone.
Yes.
As you hear, our
really
expert
important.
And our host, Attorney Ethel Mitchell.
This is what I do.
She's taking us to school and breaking it all down.
Well, this
What's
is
the
important.
Third document?
The third document is the last will and testament. The last will and testament says, when I die, number one, this is who I want to be in charge. And there can be huge battles over who's in charge. I've got one going on right now where, you know, they name somebody who died and now the other people want to get involved, you know? So you can at least name who you want to be in charge because you know who's going to do what you said, you know who's going to be businesslike, and you know who's going to follow the law. So you name who you want and then you distribute it how you want it to go. It really cuts out a lot of foolishness, okay? It can also do some other things. For example, you don't have to give everything to your children, but you can if you want. For men, it is really nice to know in your will, these are my children, so that people can, even if they come out of the woodworks and claim that you are their father, at least you have said, these are the people I want to inherit from me. These are the people who I acknowledge as my children. And that can become very, very important. Right there are huge battles. And then you decide how, or you say, how you want your assets to be distributed. And that, of course, depends on your own preferences at that point.
Can you, let's say the person you put in charge on your last will and testament dies before you die.
You
name
can
more
it.
Than one person?
Oh, yeah.
What happens?
A will, in fact, the latest dated will is the one that governs. So you can always change any of these documents, for that matter, as long as you're competent. Now, you can't wait till you get to be incompetent, then you can't sign it. And unfortunately, in all seriousness, a lot of people are afraid to broach this with their parents for whatever reason. And it's an uncomfortable conversation. Sometimes they call the lawyer in and it's easier for the lawyer to talk about it. A lot of elderly people want to do something. They just don't know where to proceed. So it is wise to get the conversation started. A lot of times also among husband and wife, one wants to do it and the other one doesn't. What I have found often is when one gets started, then the other one comes along. That often happens. Once the conversation is started, then the other one kind of gets on board.
Okay, so and with any of these three documents, can someone contest any of this after you're dead and gone, but you've said this is what you want?
The main way in which a document that, like the type of documents that we are talking about, can be contested is usually on grounds of incompetency. They have to establish that when you signed the document, you were not in your right mind, or you were subject to undue influence. Like, maybe all of a sudden the maid gets everything instead of the children, okay? Or you've already been declared incompetent. A lot of times people will call me and their loved one that they're trying to protect has already been diagnosed with early onset Alzheimer's or dementia. If you have a physician on their letterhead say that even though they may have the disease, they are still competent to sign. And competency is, just in layman's terms in general, can be determined by saying, do they know who the natural objects of their bounty are? And that's do they know who their family is? Mm-hmm. Do they know what their property is? And they don't have to know every bank account or anything, but their property is. And do they know what they're saying? Mm. Those are the levels.
Those are the questions. Do you know what year it is? Do you know who the president is? That's what they're trying to establish.
Does the person know enough about life and themselves and what they're doing and what you're asking them to do to be competent to do it? And once you can establish that, and that's partly why I often will tell people, get that letter from the doctor first and then let's do the documents, okay?
Very.
But you gotta do it quick before it's too late.
Very
gotta
interesting.
Do it. You really do.
Listeners, we want to remind you to call us at 1-800-450-7876. That's 1-800-450-7876. We are talking with Attorney Ethel Mitchell, our host of Law Talk with Ethel Mitchell. I'm the executive producer and guest co-host of the day, yes. Stacey Royster. And she has flipped the mic, and so we're talking to her about her great expertise about wills, trusts, estate planning, and probate. And so we're going to continue the conversation. Again, that phone number, 1-800-450-7876. Ethel, explain to us what a trust is and how it works.
Sure. A trust is a form of ownership where one person, named the trustee, manages property called the trust estate for the benefit of a person who's called the beneficiary. Okay, in general terms, all trusts work like that. There are three parts. There's the trustee, the property, and the beneficiary. The most common type of trust is a revocable trust, or a living trust, people call it. And in that trust, the person creating it is usually the trustee. The property that they're using, which is their own property that they put into the trust, is their own property. It becomes a trust estate. And they are also the beneficiary of that trust. So that's why a living trust or a revocable trust is created during your lifetime. And you can continue to manage your property the same way you do right now. You can sell it, you can mortgage it, you can do whatever you want to with it. But what the trust does is it says, if I become sick or when I die, I've already named who my successor trustee is. And this person is empowered to take over for me without the court having to get involved. And that's critical. That's what keeps property out of probate, out of courts. It keeps strangers from getting in your business. But it also can be very effective with when persons get older or they get sick and they can no longer manage or they no longer want to manage. They name their successor trustee, or sometimes they come back and we name the successor trustee as the co-trustee. So even while they're alive and in their right mind, they can begin to manage the money or manage the house, manage the property for their parent or their loved one. Now, when you die, the trust acts like a will. It distributes the property. It says, successor trustee, give my house here, give my property here. But what's beautiful about the trust is you can control it after death. You can say, don't give it to somebody until they're 35 years old. You can say, I've got a nephew, and I'm gonna have the life insurance paid into my trust, you know, that I have, and then I'm going to allow his parents to use this money for his private education or for college or for whatever purpose you want. That means that the court doesn't get involved. So, for example, if you instead had said, my nephew is the beneficiary of the policy, and so when you died, the insurance company will not pay money to a minor child. You have, even their parents have to go to court, and whatever they do with it has to be approved by the court. So the parents can't just take the money and do things with it. Also, they are not relieved of their responsibility for taking care of the child, just because it's the child's money.
So wait, let me get this straight. If I have a 15-year-old child, mm-hmm. and their uncle leaves them $1 million in mm-hmm. a trust, mm-hmm. and I'm the parent, they mm-hmm. live in my house, mm-hmm. and I cannot use that money how I see fit.
No.
So if I put that child into a private school,
if the money is in a court guardianship, mm-hmm. no.
Wow.
The court has to approve what you do with that money, you see.
Mm.
And what's really bad about it is when that child reaches the age of majority, whatever that is, 18 or 21 in whatever state you're in, all that money goes to that child outright. And you know they will blow it.
Wow.
Okay? Now, let's talk about it in another way. If instead the uncle had a trust created and said the same $1 million policy went into the trust and perhaps named the parents as the trustee for the child, and in the trust said it is to be used for that child's health, education, maintenance, and support. We call that the HIM standard. That's the traditional standard. And it can say for private or public schooling. Then the parents still could not use all the money. They can't use it for themselves, period. And they still have their obligation to take care of the child. But they could use their discretion as to how that money is to be used. And the trust would be said, certainly if I did it, it would be said, don't give all this money to this child at 21 years old, okay? Maybe when they are 25 or maybe when they're 30, give 10%, 20%, 30%. But you can also say, if they want to buy a house, trust can buy houses, you know.
Interesting.
They can own houses. Oh, yeah.
I have another question about trust.
Uh-huh.
I don't remember the company, but it was some endorsement given to Allen Iverson, and they put the money in trust.
In trust,
and that's
yeah.
the reason why, although he's quote unquote broke,
mm-hmm.
okay, that there's some company, and forgive me, I forget, that put the money in trust, and so mm-hmm. a certain time he'll get mm-hmm. some thousands of dollars from yeah. an endorsement. How does that work?
Well, it's the same basic thing that whoever creates the trust says this money is to be used in this way. So you can say in your trust, pay for college, but don't pay for anything else. Buy a house or give them a down payment on a house. You know, if they get really sick and they need the money, then help pay for that too. If they don't go to college, give it to somebody else. You know, all of these things are what you can, because you're controlling your legacy from the grave, so to speak. It is there for their use. It is there for their benefit. That's how a lot of really wealthy families, you know, the Kennedys, the Rockefellers, people like that, they have these massive trusts. And that means that the child has some kind of a foundation when they grow up that, you know, as long as you meet the terms of the trust, you may get it. Some trusts will say, if they're not working, don't give them any money.
Interesting.
You know, or some trust may say, give it to them.
My name is Manupra Kaur.
Well, you know, I'm thinking.
I know you don't have to be very wealthy to
well,
do this.
I was going down.
Okay.
When you mentioned the Rockefellers and the Kennedys,
no, you don't.
Is this just
in fact,
for the wealthy folks?
No. A lot of people in this area, in the metropolitan area, can certainly use trust. People have a lot more property in this area than they realize. The value of your home, for example, in the Washington, D.C. area is usually very large. I had a lady that died recently, and her home was sold for $200,000. So when we got ready to distribute her estate, there was almost $300,000 in it. And a lot of people don't realize it. Your life insurance, your savings account, the equity in your home, all those are assets that are pots of money that you can then that you are going to distribute one way or the other, because you can't take it with you. So if you come to someone like myself to help you design your estate and to distribute it the way you want, it can help so many people. I'm delivering checks to Howard University to So Others May Eat, to organizations for the blind, you know, because people are willing to say, give X amount of money or percentages. Nobody knows how much they're going to have, so you might do it in percentages, you know, to charities and organizations that they want to benefit as well.
Excellent. We're talking with Law Talk with Ethel Mitchell, host and guest of the day, expert of the day, attorney Ethel Mitchell. And I'm Stacey Royster, executive producer and today's guest co-host.
Yes.
You may contact attorney Ethel Mitchell at 202-772-1988 or via email at emitchell@willsandtrust.net. I am learning so much, and I know you are. And you know, we have a few more things to get to, and I know that Ethel wants to take the show back and flip the mic back.
No, I'm trying to be still.
So my last question, Ethel, is what are some things that can be dangerous for people to do?
Oh my God.
Or not do?
Tell us. For example, a lot of people figure they can avoid all this by simply putting somebody's name on their bank account. Well, what you don't realize is when you put somebody's name on your bank account, the law considers that they own it too. Not only can they take all your money, but their creditors can too.
Mm.
So when you put your child's name on your bank account, because that's the child that picks up your money or whatever, then if their creditors can come in and get your money. Another thing that people try to do is they will put somebody's name on their deed. They'll say, well, I'll just give my children a deed right now, you know, and then avoid all this. They don't realize that when you give somebody a house or real property, you lose, or they lose, the step-up in basis that they would get if they got the house when you died. And that can be huge here. A lot of people bought houses at $25,000 years ago that are now worth $400,000 or $500,000 now. If you wait till you die to give them the house, then the basis is going to be whatever it is when they die. If you give it to them while you are alive, the basis is at $25,000, and they're going to pay capital gains tax on the difference between the basis when you bought it and when they sell it, which can be huge.
I see.
Yes, huge.
Well, you know, I know we covered a lot of topics. Probate is something else. I think we're going to need to do another show next month.
Yes.
Alone, just talking with attorney Ethel Mitchell about everything that we've talked about today and more. Wow. So I'm going to flip the mic back over to attorney Ethel Mitchell, and so you can bring us any closing remarks, reminders, or comments.
Well, thank you, Stacy. Thank you very much. You're a pretty good host there, you know. In all seriousness, listeners, please give me a call. This is really important material. Give me a call at 202-772-1988. I do a lot of speaking at churches and community organizations, sororities, fraternities, all over the DMV, because people need to know this. They really need to know this, and they need to do something. It has to be in writing, and it has to be done right. So if you don't have your own papers in order, if your parents don't have their papers in order, if your loved ones don't have their papers in order, if your spouses, your boyfriends, whoever you're dependent upon or who is dependent with you, please call me and let's get these documents done. 202-772-1988. Next week, we begin our series on law as it applies to churches and nonprofits. The entire month of April, we're going to talk about churches. Reverend Michael Chambers is going to address legal issues that confront churches. Attorney Erica Cole, host of the Church Compliance Conference, will discuss legal matters that churches must address to be in compliance with the law. Attorney James Montgomery will discuss the tax aspects of churches and nonprofits and the 501c3 organization. And Attorney Antonio Rocho will talk to us about nonprofits and charities. So thank you for listening. I hope you will listen in next week. It's been my pleasure, Attorney Ethel Mitchell with Law Talk. And have a good week.
You've been listening to Law Talk with Ethel Mitchell. Be sure to tune in next Saturday at 11:30 a.m. for another informative broadcast. To reach Attorney Mitchell, you may do so by calling 202-772-1988. That's 202-772-1988. Or log on to her website, www.lawtalkwithethelmitchell.com.
In a moment, cancer changed our lives forever.
At this moment, St. Jude Children's Research Hospital is saving lives with pioneering research and care.
And we'll never have to pay St. Jude for anything, ever.
At this moment, she wants to be in her own bed.
I want to be back at school with my friends.
I want to be outside playing.
Please take a moment and visit stjude.org today.
Don't just complain about your cable bill going up. Do something about it. Call 800-912-1816. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99. Best of all, there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Call 800-912-1816. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut cost and get more. 800-912-1816. That's 800-912-1816.
WOL Washington, D.C. and WPRS HD2 Waldorf, Washington. A Radio 1 station and worldwide. WOLDCNews.com.
I'm Dr. Mary Harris for Journey to Wellness. Around half of the current 90,000 patients on some kind of organ donation waiting list are African Americans. But there is a shortage of black organ donors. Victoria Dent, chairman of the Linkage to Life program, says part of the problem is that potential donors don't tell anyone about their donation decision.
Make sure that you inform your family because they make the final decision for you.
The Lynx organization has published the Can We Talk Conversation Guide.
We'll give them tips on how to start the conversation and how not to focus on death, but focus on life.
And research shows that the transplant gift is more likely to be successful with the better tissue match that shows up among the same race. If you'd like to be a donor, Dent suggests...
see if their state has a state registry. They can also sign the back of their license or a donor card.
There's more at JourneyToWellness.com. I'm Dr. Mary Harris.
What would you give for our babies? What would it take for you to show them how much they're worth? Did you know that thousands of premature babies die every year as a result of not getting their full 9 months?
I need to know, am I worth it?
Hi. I'm Heather Headley. Join me and the March of Dimes in the fight to reduce premature births in our communities. Join us. Together, we can make the research and education possible to help more women get their 9 months. Visit marchofdimes.com today. Marchofdimes.com. Saving our babies. There's nothing more worth it in the world.
I'm Dr. Mary Harris for Journey to Wellness. Around half of the current 90,000 patients on some kind of organ donation waiting list are African Americans. But there is a shortage of black organ donors. Victoria Dent, chairman of the Linkage to Life program, says part of the problem is that potential donors don't tell anyone about their donation decision.
Make sure that you inform your family because they make the final decision for you.
The Lynx organization has published the Can We Talk Conversation Guide.
We'll give them tips on how to start the conversation and how not to focus on death, but focus on life.
And research shows that the transplant gift is more likely to be successful with the better tissue match that shows up among the same race. If you'd like to be a donor, Dent suggests...
see if their state has a state registry. They can also sign the back of their license or a donor card.
There's more at JourneyToWellness.com. I'm Dr. Mary Harris.
Brooke Ellison is a surprising person.
When I was 11 years old, I was hit by a car and no one expected me to live.
She surprised people by living.
I've been paralyzed from the neck down and on a ventilator since that time.
And she surprised them by going to college.
Tomorrow, I will graduate from Harvard.